The land of opportunity, Mattie had called America. The land of a million languages was more like it, Fiona thought, as she stared at the confused faces around her. She had stopped at a place called Franklin, a booming American town on the sleepy Bayou Teche, emitting all sorts of English accents, along with African slaves and French Creoles. When she asked for Lauraville and Bayou Paradis, an American pointed the way, calling it a Cajun village, whatever that was. Another nationality and another language, no doubt. Fiona rubbed her eyes in a vain attempt to ward off the weariness she had accumulated during her week-long boat travel from New Orleans. Trusting no one, she rarely slept, one eye on her bag, the other on Mattie's precious child. Now, with a dozen curious eyes pointed in her direction in the only store, possibly the only building, of Bayou Paradis, she wanted nothing more than to find her beloved home and make her bed. She held up the letter one more time, which brought another round of remarks, all in what she figured was French, but slightly different from the French she heard in New Orleans. This language was slower, less formal, perhaps. If she thought hard enough, she could decipher a few words, but fatigue was getting the upper hand. The older man behind the store counter kept insisting on something to do with the stockroom. The short, balding man to his right repeatedly pointed to the baby, and Fiona could have sworn he mentioned milk. Another man, mumbling away in his native language, grabbed Fiona's elbow and tried to move her in his direction before she promptly put an end to his intentions. In another moment, she feared she would lose all control or collapse on the spot. The chorus of indecipherable voices halted when a gust of frigid air poured in from the direction of the bayou. While a chill slivered up her spine, Fiona heard a door close and saw a body throw a batch of skinned animal hides onto the counter. She couldn't make out his face, for the other men were busy crowding him and most likely updating him on the arrival of Aristide Dugas' non-French-speaking relative. Fiona heard the name Emile mentioned, but still could not make out the man. When the other men finished explaining their story, the room became eerily silent. This Emile was of some importance, she suspected. She prayed he spoke English. Too curious to stand still, Fiona inched her way forward, trying to catch sight of the man. At the same time, several men moved aside. When a path was cleared and the man finally came into Fiona's view, he glanced up, his enormous brown eyes meeting hers. In that second, Fiona felt exposed, that her deceptive identity had been discovered. The man gazed at her with a look that wavered between accusation and astonishment. Worse, he stood there speechless, as if the sight of a long-lost relative was cause for alarm instead of appreciated reception. "But you're not a relative," she reminded herself, feeling the familiar anxiety creep up to strangle her voice. Fiona swallowed hard and commanded herself to breathe. If she had eaten that morning, she was sure she would have been sick. "I wish to go to Aristide Dugas' place," Fiona said, barely above a whisper. "Do you speak English?" The man finally moved, his long legs slowly erasing the distance between them. The questioning look never faltered, however. When he reached her, the man towered over her menacingly. "I have a letter," Fiona said. She held the open envelope and papers up to his chest, but the man ignored the correspondence and continued staring, as if searching for the truth, as if reaching into her soul to retrieve what remnants remained of Fiona Riley, an Irish resident of County Kerry. "God help me if he finds it," Fiona thought.